Our scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 13, and that is on page 948 in your pew Bibles. This is the word of the Lord. God's marvelous plan for the Gentiles. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs, together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory.
Thank you, Pete. Who doesn't like a mystery? A mystery. You know, I like mysteries. I like all sorts of mysteries. I like books that are mysteries. I like movies that are mysteries. And I like television shows that are mysteries as well. Today, right now, Karen and I, in our home, we're watching a series called Peter Gunn. Yeah, Peter Gunn. Now, Peter Gunn wasn't in color at all. It's black and white. It was 1950s, late 50s, early 60s. Awesome show. Peter Gunn's this tall guy. He's got dark hair. He's always wearing a suit like you're seeing in the picture. He knows stuff about people. He knows all the shady characters. He's got this really hot girlfriend, you know, who sings in a jazz bar. You know, he's got it all going on. He's driving around in his 1959 Plymouth Fury Sport convertible. Oh, man. That car looks better in black and white than most cars look in full HD color nowadays. Oh, such good stuff. And he always gets his man. This is the thing about Peter Gunn. I love that stuff. And today is Epiphany. And like I said earlier, other traditions for today, it's Christmas time. But today is Epiphany. And for the Western church here, we mark it as the day where the Magi come and visit the child, the Christ child. And this is sort of a mystery too. This is a mystery. These guys, they're a mystery because we really don't know a whole lot about them. We know that they came from the east and they followed a star. And we know that they came to visit the Christ child. And we know that the Christ child was in Bethlehem. But they went to Jerusalem first because they asked Herod, hey, where's this child? And that set Herod off on a rant. He says, when you find this child in Bethlehem, bring him to me so that I can worship him too. And, well, we know that that didn't happen. And we also know that they brought gifts, expensive gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But other than that, we really don't know a whole lot about the Magi. We don't know how many there really were. We assume there were three, but we don't know. We only assume that because they came with three gifts. We don't know how many gifts or how much of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh they brought along with them. We don't know how old the Christ child was at the time. Some say he was still an infant. Others say he could have been a year and a half old. We don't know a lot of things about the Magi and their story. How far east did they come from? What countries did they hail from? What did that star look like? Was it an astronomical sign, big star in the sky? Did the planets line up in a certain fashion? Or was it an angel that just led the way? We don't know this stuff. They are a mystery, the Magi. But what they did signify for us was that Christ came for more than just the Jews. Christ came for the Gentiles as well, for the non-Jews. And Paul refers to that in his letter to the Ephesians today. And he talks about this mystery again. This mystery, and he actually names it in verse 6. He says, this mystery is that through the gospel, through the good news, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Jesus Christ. Now, you and I could look at this and we go, yeah, we know that. Duh. Because as far as I know, we are all Gentiles here. We are all non-Jews. And the Gentiles are the ones who have carried the church throughout many hundreds of years after Christ. And so this is really a non-starter for us. We're going, yes, we understand that. But you have to understand where Paul's coming from here. Because the Apostle Paul was named Saul at one time. And Saul was a Pharisee. And Saul was even more than a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he boasts about this a little bit, tongue in cheek, in Philippians 3. He says, if anyone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. And as for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. You see, Saul was a Pharisee. He was the guy who was all about the Jewish religion, Judaism. He was key. He was the man. He knew all about it. And so for him to say the words here, that the mystery through the gospel is that through the gospel the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, that the non-Jews are now heirs, co-heirs. They're not from the line of Abraham. They can't trace their lineage back. And yet, they are heirs. Mind-blowing. Members together of one body. And we know how Paul talks about the one body analogies sometimes. You know, the eye doesn't say to the hand, I don't need you. Paul talks about being one body, one united church, that we all need each other and that we all work together and that we all have importance. He says it in time and time again in his letters. And we all share together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And that we are all together in Christ. You see, the other apostles went to go and preach to the Jews. Only the apostle Paul was sent to go and preach to the Gentiles. And for a Pharisee, a guy who didn't want to associate with Jews, much less those less on the lower part of the Judaism scale spectrum, he didn't want to associate with them because he was the scholar. He was the teacher. He was the man. He didn't want anything to do with them. And for him to go out now to go to the Gentile, to the Gentiles, and to start being with them, associating with them, and start working with them and teaching them about Christ was something that really stretched him out of his comfort zone. He's no longer in his comfort zone, not by a long shot. There's a paraphrase of this passage in the Message. Don't know if you're familiar with that paraphrase or not, where Eugene Peterson rewrites the Bible and puts it in his own words. And he paraphrases this passage from verse 7 to 10. And I would like to read this for you. He says, and speaking of Paul then, he says, "This is my life work, helping people understand and respond to this message," or the good news. "It came as a sheer gift to me, a real surprise, God handling all the details. When it came to presenting this message to the people who had no background in God's way," aka the Gentiles, the non-Jews, "I was the least qualified of any of the available Christians. God saw to it that I was equipped, but you can be sure that it had nothing to do with my natural abilities. And so here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. My task is to bring out into the open and make plain what God, who created all this in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. Through followers of Jesus like yourselves gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan is becoming known and talked about, even among the angels." In this paraphrase, it comes out a little bit more, may come out a little bit more informative for you, and it did, as it did for me. That this is mind-blowing for Paul. It sets him apart. It pushes him out of his comfort zone into a place he'd rather not be. If you asked him some years ago if he would ever do this, he would say, "There's no way. I'm not doing this." When Karen and I were in Richmond Hill, we ran into a couple there named Phil and Janetta Vandenberg. Now, Phil and Janetta, they were very intrigued by our story. If you know our story at all, I'll just share the very short synopsis of it. When Karen and I decided to go into ministry, we sold our home, quit our jobs, moved to the city, and so that I could be close to school, and we stayed in a basement apartment there for around 5 years. Okay? And that wasn't all that long ago. So when we arrived in Richmond Hill, and we were there after we had just done all this, then Phil and Janetta, they were really intrigued by what we said because they felt the Lord calling them into missions. And they wanted to know our story so that they could look at their story and see how it would compare and see what was going on and what's the difference. You see, they had been on short-term mission trips before. You know, the week-long or 10-day mission trips that you go to Central America or something like that, build something and come home. They had done this, and they just sort of were intrigued about that. And so they thought, like, Phil had a background in farming. He was a farmer. He was also a mechanic for a while with Kubota, Canada. And he actually grew up in sales at Kubota, and I think he became a regional rep for dealerships around the area. They lived out near Lindsay, Ontario. Well, they lived in Richmond Hill, but he hailed from Lindsay. His wife, Janetta, was a nurse. And so if you get this combination couple of a guy who knows about farming, a guy who knows about mechanics, and a woman who knows about medical care, and you go up to an agency like World Renew and you say, hey, you got a spot for us? They're going, uh-huh, yeah, we'll sign you right up right now. And so they went and they figured that they would try this thing out, and they learned all this Spanish, and they went to South America. They went to Peru. And they figured that they would try it out for about 8 weeks or so. I think it was 8 weeks. Maybe it was 3 months. And so they tried this thing out, and they came back, and they were thrilled because now Phil felt like he could help people out. People were coming up to him with their outboard engines, outboard motors for their boats, and he would fix them up and get them running again. And so now they could actually operate their boat that hasn't been running for 2 years, right? And Janetta was helping out with a medical situation, and they came back, and they were thrilled. And so they wanted to sign up for more. They learned Spanish, but they wanted to sign up for more. And as it was, the doors were starting to close for South and Central America. But the doors were opening in Africa, Tanzania. This is a totally different ball of wax, people. In Tanzania, it's a different culture. The people are different. Everything's different there. And there was no trial period. Either you go or you stay at home, but there's no trial period. If you wanted to go into missions, this is where it's happening. And so they decided that they would go and stretch themselves beyond the limit. You see, the Lord was with them. The Lord is with us when we stretch ourselves. Be out of our comfort zone. Like Paul, being stretched out of his comfort zone to bring the good news, the gospel, to the Gentiles. And like all of us, as we stretch out of our comfort zone to bring the gospel wherever we got to bring it. Problem is, folks, is I think that we are quite comfortable sometimes in our comfort zone. We are quite comfortable there. Maybe there was a time where we were stretched and we felt that feeling, right? That feeling that God is with us and yes, we are there. And we're firing on all cylinders and we're doing great. But then we say, well, you know what? I really need to take a step back out of that. And then that's okay. There's nothing wrong with taking the step back out of it, but we don't get back into it again. And there comes that time where we need to step out of the easy boy, or lazy boy, lazy boy, and get back in gear and get back into it and stretch ourselves out of the comfort zone, both in our personal lives and in the life as a corporate life of the church. What are we doing as a church that's stretching us, that's making us feel outside, not feel the norm of being right here? What are we doing? Are we comfortable? Well, if we're comfortable, maybe it's time that we got uncomfortable for a while. Because as Paul says in this paraphrase, and again, this is through Eugene Peterson, God saw to it that I was equipped, and you can be sure that it had nothing to do with my natural abilities, what it says in the text and what Eugene points to there too, is that when we do this and we trust in God to do this, even the angels are talking about it. Even all the heavenly beings are talking about it. The angels are coming together and they're saying, look what God's doing through them. Look what God's doing through him or through her. Look what God's doing. Because it's not about you or you or even all of us. It's about God. And so what's it going to be, folks? We're starting a new year. We are kicking this year off, January 6th, 2019. Are we going to stretch ourselves a bit? Are we going to see how we can do that and bring that into the fold and see how we can make this thing work? Or are we going to click that lazy boy back another notch and lift up that footrest a little bit more? Something to consider. Amen.